myself out.
I am afraid of...
I'm terrified and paralyzed by...
I am deathly afraid of...
Welcome to the Sum of All Fears podcast with your host, me, Ryan Perio. Hello, and welcome to the Sum of All Fears podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Perio. This week, my guest is Alan Carrier, a fitness and wellness coach out of Canada. He has developed NutriJourney, which is a fantastic holistic approach to fitness and wellness. He's an amazing human being. We had a great conversation. In this episode, we talk about nutrition, fitness, his journey, and then we get into his fear of body image. So let's get into that interview right now with Alan Carrier. All right. My guest this week is nutritionist and wellness coach Alan Carrier out of Canada. Like, where in Canada are you exactly?
Hey, everyone. I'm from Ontario, Canada right now. I live in Wasaga Beach, and we're talking about potentially moving the Golden Horseshoe sometimes this year as well. So around like Hamilton area.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. So you're a nutritionist and wellness coach. Where does your passion for nutrition and wellness come from?
So I feel like it started in my like younger days. When I was like a teenager, I struggled with really bad insomnia to the point like I would probably sleep maybe like 4 or 5 hours a week. I would constantly look up online about different modalities, about like holistic wellness stuff, about mental health, and about nutrition, about whatever I thought was really interesting. And then I just like constantly read stuff online and educating myself about it. And then I remember telling my mom that I wanted to go to college to become like a mental health an addiction worker, because I thought the whole concept of mental health and addiction was like super fascinating. But then the only issue was like the school I wanted to go to was in North Bay, which is at least like 6 hours away. And then I was like, I don't know if I could move that far away from home. I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to take care of myself. So eventually I was turned 18, moved out by myself, went to school to become a fashion designer because I thought that's what I wanted to do. I want to make clothes. I thought it was creative. I thought it was cool to realize like, how toxic it was and how terrible the industry was. I'm just like, yeah, I don't know if I could do this. And at the same time, like I couldn't sew. I could barely draw. So I just like, some designer I'm gonna be, right? So then later on, like my friend and like that's when I live in Ottawa. So my friend decided like, hey, let's move up north together because Ottawa sucks. And I'm like, totally does. So we just packed our shit and we left, moved to Sault Ste. Marie, which is like 12 hours from Ottawa. It's like between Thunder Bay and Sudbury. If you look at a map, it's pretty isolated. It was a huge culture shock. And I'm just like, you know, this is so new. This is so weird. And I'm like, I don't know if I like this. It's like this whole fear because it's like the unknown, right? So when I moved there, I decided to go back to school to study social service worker, which I felt was pretty fascinating because it kind of goes with like, you know, my passion for mental health and addiction and to help people's wellness and to make them feel better. Then I basically decided like, hey, I should go to North Bay because I wanted to do wellness 16 for mental health and addiction. Then I moved to university, so further down south, closer to Barrie. Went to university, that's where like my health and wellness kicked in like to the most, because then it's like I saw my partner and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna quit smoking because I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of spending money and feeling like shit almost every day from smoking like a pack of cigarettes a day. He was supportive. He's just like, yeah, do what you want to do. So then I quit smoking. And then of course, like the fear of like weight gain was gonna come in, right? Like I was pretty lean. Like I was pretty skinny before. Like I was an extra small shirt man. I was size like 28 pants. So then everyone kept telling me like, oh, when you quit smoking, you're gonna gain weight. I was just like, yeah. Like I never had to worry about that before. I just ate whatever I wanted and never had to worry about it. So then I just like, my first step was just like, I should learn how to cook. Maybe if I learn how to cook, I can make something healthy and I won't have to, like, the fear of like gaining that weight, right? I'm not going to fear of like, my body image is not going to change that much. needless to say, that didn't happen, but.
I like how that you threw the humble brag of we're in size 28 when I'm over here, we're in size 33, 34. It's like, okay, I see that. I see where you're throwing down. Like I,
right?
But as a man, it is like you totally lose track of your size. Because you just, when you grow as a young adult, you're like, these are my sizes. And that when you go to the clothing store, this, yeah, I'm a medium. And you don't realize you've grown in ways you're not proud of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just never realized I grew into a large, or that my body type, my shoulders wise and everything else just didn't fit what, you know, I thought I did when I was younger. I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's not what I usually wear, but I guess that's what we're wearing now, you know, and just, it's amazing. Like, since you did dabble in fashion design, you know, you kind of have that too. It's like, hey, you know, yes, because men, you know, don't, you know, men aren't known as avid clothing shoppers or knowing like their sizes like a woman is. A woman goes into the store, knows her size, but also still tries on the outfit to make sure that it flatters. And, you know, it men don't do that. Men are like, I'm a large. There's a large. Yeah. We're gone.
That would just like, you just got this shirt. Like, oh, yeah, that fits. That's my size. Right, but I'm trying anything on.
Yeah, and so that's, and I feel like, you know, your little dalliance into fashion design helps you because you can kind of educate men that way too. Of like, hey, don't just look at the tag, look in the mirror.
Yeah,
like, put it on.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror, because you know, even though it says it's a large, if they're using European measurements, which is centimeters and meters, versus American, which is inches, it makes a difference.
Oh yeah, it totally does.
I learned that the hard way buying jeans on eBay. I was like, oh, I can wear a 32. And they were like 32 centimeters. I was like, this is hilariously skinny.
This fits my leg.
Like, I'm like, what starving child, like even a starving child would have to suck in to put these pants on. Like they were that tight. It was like, no one is this skinny. Like biology skeletons would be like, ooh, this is going to be a little bit of work. But that's,
oh man.
But yeah, so that's awesome. What do you think, like, mm-hmm. you talk about your fascination with the mental health. Where do you think that comes from? Like, where do you think your obsession with mental health comes from?
I think it's just a lot of like psychology aspects, right? Like studying the human behavior, studying the mind. And then like a lot of mental people struggle with mental health, and it's a huge stigma nowadays. Like, come on, people are like, we're in 2022. There's nothing to be ashamed about if you have anxiety or depression or if you're bipolar, right? And I think that was like part of it too, because like I was so convinced, I'm like, I must be bipolar because I can't sleep. My mood fluctuates. I mean, I was a teenager, right? Mm-hmm. Your mood fluctuates all the time. And it's just fun because like, I went from happy to sad and depressed to like, I almost scream at the world and punch someone in the face within like 5 minutes, realizing like, you know, like, oh, I must be bipolar. But it's just like, no, I just probably some hormonal teenager, right? Everyone goes through that phase. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I am bipolar.
I think they're just varying degrees. Like nobody, it's just like, just because everybody looks good, you know, everything looks healthy on the outside doesn't mean that some of the wiring isn't bad.
Yeah.
And it's
exactly,
there's a lot that makes up a human being, and it's there's not a normal. It is just a sliding scale of mental and physical, you know, just strengths and weaknesses. It's your genetic code kind of tells you if you're genetically predisposed to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And as I've talked about on previous episodes, like I'm a huge advocate for like, I feel like they need to revamp like middle school up to have like a psychology class and not a home ec class, but a nutrition class. Like home ec, I had home ec when I was a cadet. I'm showing my age. Like we had home ec where you actually, you know, like studied to be a housewife. Basically you had a class where you cooked, you baked a pie, you pretended to have kids. You did all these things that is so 50s and 60s like esque. Oh, like you walk into a class, it was like I Love Lucy. You had like these little dining room, like faux dining rooms, like in the class, and everybody got like a little kitchen lab, and we just pretended to, we played house for about an hour. And I was like, times have changed, but there are things that I feel like it drives me crazy that they don't have a basic rudimentary psychology because of the bullying and everything, like the rough, you know, early onset of socializing and social circles that goes with, you know, late elementary and early middle school, where you just, everybody's stepping on each other to be the golden child, the one at the top that everybody likes, the popular one. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you had a basic social dynamics class that taught like, okay, this is what, you know, just basically respectable, I would say respectful competition. Don't be, not arrogance, but just respectful, you know, respectful confidence. You know, there's to be proud of yourself, but not so proud of yourself that you have to put someone else down. And I think that would be, it would just go a long way, because there's so many things that just by pointing out kids' differences at such an early age, you already start that fear and anxiety of going to school, and your world is, you know, a class of 300 people, and then it grows to like maybe 1,000 when you get to high school, and then your damage is done, because then you realize, you know, 10, 20, 50 years later that the world is a million people, but you let 300 people set up your behaviors for the rest of your life.
Yep. It's like basically like, you know, I guess this is going to age us. It's like listening to Guns N' Roses, you know what I mean? Welcome to the Jungle. It's all about fun and games. You got to survive somehow. And then, you know, like people that do survive high school, like you said, it's just like the popular kids. If you're like below, like below the popular kids, you're a nobody, right? And then you're like, oh my God, I'm so socially awkward. Oh my God, like I like this girl, this guy.
Yeah.
I should approach them. You say hi, and they like don't say hi back to you. You're like, or draw back into a shell, right? You're just like, oh my God, I don't want to exist anymore. Well,
that, or that, or they just publicly humiliate you for your differences. Like, you know, they just, the kids use things like, what's your pronoun? Because that's the new thing of, you know, our, as adults, we try to be respectful of like, hey, it isn't what, it's what we want to be. Like, so it doesn't matter what we are. It's what we wish to be. Why is it so difficult to just let us be who we want to be versus no, instead. Yeah. I don't understand. You know, we did that when we were kids playing house. Like, there's so many people that, you know, played like they were the mom or the dad. And just because they weren't girl or boys, we still played the game. It wasn't, we didn't sit there and think, no, you're a boy, you can't be a mom. You know, that somewhere down the line that got, you know, pushed in. Because you watch kindergartners play and stuff, house and stuff like that. They just assign roles and just, you know, play their interpretation of that role.
Yeah. And it's a whole like gender construct, right? As soon as you're a male, like, oh, you have to be the dad. I'm going to be the mom because I'm a girl. And it's like, okay, well, it doesn't really work that way nowadays.
It is. And it's, but I just don't get the pushback. You know, is it just that you're afraid that they're going to be happier than you? Is that like because you're unhappy with what you've built, that you just don't want someone else to build something better than you?
Yeah. And again, survival competition, right? Survival of the strongest.
And then also teach nutrition. I feel like, I don't know if you feel like this as a nutritionist, that they're, you know, the diet could goes a long way into, I guess, mental sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar, soda, everything else is, you know, at that young of an age, informative is probably not good. I don't know how well do you, like, nutrition wise, how much do you think that could change, is a game changer? Like,
I find like nutrition like changes, like, oh my God, like this, oh, every year there's something new, which is, I mean, I like the learning aspect of it because it's like, it keeps me excited. But like back in the 90s, coconut oil was deemed like the worst thing ever, right? It was so bad for you. And then 2000 was like, oh, eggs increases your cholesterol, you should have only egg whites. And then I think 2010, I think it's like gluten-free stuff. Like, all like, everyone's had to be gluten-free, everyone's gluten-tolerant, anyone's celiac. And now it's like, oh, keto, right? Like, carbs are terrible for you. You eat too many carbs. Carbs are the worst. And I feel like nutrition changes so much. Like, every year there's something new. I mean, like, to me, I find all it does, it feeds into the fear of, like, you know, the of anorexia, right? When people are obsessed about eating healthy, that's all they can eat. It's anything that's deemed unhealthy, air quotes, right? They have this like anxiety and they feel like shit. And then some people may trigger like eating disorders, like to the point that they become bulimic because they ate like a piece of chocolate. And it's like, yeah. Oh my God, I ate sugar. I ate carbs. I'm terrible.
Yeah, I also don't understand that either. It's like food is meant to be, you know, yes, it's sustenance, but it's also meant to be enjoyed. If you don't enjoy the food, then why are you eating it? You know, like it's, you also want a happy life. You don't want to dread dinner, you know, you don't want to,
exactly.
And then to just basically, you know, feel that way about everyone else's food, you know, like you look at food and people with vegetarian stuff that they're anti-meat. And it's like, I get it. You can be anti-meat, but I don't know if they will, you know, follow suit just because you gave them that information.
Yeah. That was a couple of years ago. The whole plant-based vegan craze came out too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I said too, like I find like I guess that's part of my beliefs. Like some of you may relate to this as well, mm-hmm. but to me, like, your mind, body, and spirit. So you're like, you know, how you see yourself in your mind and your physical aspect, it's all interconnected.
Yeah.
So like in the future, like a goal of mine is to combine like mental health services with nutrition, because it's like, for example, if you think of someone who had struggles with body image, like myself, right, mm-hmm. for the longest time, and then I quit smoking and I gained all that weight, like, obviously, that triggers a lot of anxiety, like, to the point, like, you know, I had a fear of taking my shirt off in public, or I got super anxious, like, to a point, I feel like almost like a panic attack, so I'm, like, refused to ever go to the beach, and if I did, I had my shirt on, and people looked at me weird, I'm just, like, you know, holding myself, I'm like, don't look at me, and then, like, eventually, like, but basically, I feel like that affected my relationship, like, between my partner and I, like, everyone tried to get intimate, I was just, like, yeah, the light has to be turned off or else I want to take my shirt off.
Yeah. And they can always say, you know, they can always say how they feel so many times. And if you blow it off, that's the hard part of relationships. We have, you know, issues with your perception, whether it be mental, you know, like, I don't know how you find me attractive, or how you can love me when and they love you for you, and they can always say that so many times, and you know, they can't, they're not there to convince you. They tell you how they feel, but they can't just constantly, like, no, you know, they wish they could.
Yeah. Yep. But at the end of the day, it's like, this way you gotta work on your mindset, right? Like, believe them, believe in yourself, work on yourself, practice like things that makes you feel good.
But that's what,
that you're not harming yourself.
That's what makes me think what you're doing is so special, though, is because you're so like passionate about mental health as well, that you can also kind of also emotionally support somebody while they're going through that weight loss journey, because it can get frustrating to look in the mirror and not see the progress. You know, it's hard to watch baby steps.
Yeah. And I find some people too, like some of the clients I had felt guilty because they missed a workout day, or like, oh my God, I cheated and I had pizza last night and going tonight for dinner with some friends and we're going for the chicken wings and pitchers of beer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I send them a text, like I sigh, not because I'm like unhappy with them, they texted me. I just sigh. I'm like, again, like reminder, this is like my mantra. I tell everyone, it's like progress over perfection, right? Like, yeah. You had chicken wings. You go for chicken wings and beer. Yeah, you're going to have pizza. Yeah, you're going to scale maybe on Sunday. You're not see the scale moving. But you know what? Like, it's a progress, right? It's not a race.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
Yeah, and that's why I tell people too, like, especially in comedy, it's something I do. Is like, it's not a sprint or a marathon. It's a journey. That there's no expected finish line where we all finish at the same place. Everybody's everybody's got a different path to walk. You can't look at someone else's path and wonder why their path is so straightforward and fast when yours is seems to be this long, arduous, winding journey. You've just got to, you got to enjoy what you're doing. And, you know, there are delicious, healthy alternatives to stuff. And it's interesting. Sometimes you'll find some you like, sometimes you'll be like, you know, like, ooh, that we'll never do that again, you know, because cauliflower isn't my girlfriend loves cauliflower. I could pass on it. And like people make cauliflower pizza dough and stuff. And I'm like, I just don't, you know, it's like, it's just like pizza. It's no, it's not. I admire that your mental strength to be able to believe that your imagination is stronger than mine. Like, I don't, you definitely played make believe very well, but I, you know, I understand it. And like, if you enjoy it, that's great. And, you know, that's the main thing about it is to not eat in a bad mental place, because that's where you're not doing it for sustenance or enjoyment. You're doing it to either, you know, satisfy a feeling that you had, mm-hmm. or you're just doing it to, you know, in a negative thing, in a negative space. And you don't want, that's when you don't want to, you know, eat or, you know, satisfy an addiction is to do it when you're in a spot where you're not maybe in control.
Yeah.
So when you gained weight from your cigarettes and your body image, how did you cope with that? Like, how did you, I guess, start to turn the corner on that for yourself? Like, how did you, what were your, like, I guess, early, you know, that progress signs that kind of helped motivate you to keep going?
At first it was just like I said too, I learned how to cook, because I was just like, I survive on frozen pizzas, frozen sweet potato fries, and as well as like frozen like tofu nugget, because I'm also vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I don't preach it in my practice, because to me it's just like, I stopped eating meat when I was 16 because of the textures. There's a lot of texture issues I did not enjoy, so mm-hmm. I just like could not do it. Finally, probably again, like, you know, like I said, step on my educating myself about factory farming. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is terrible. Yeah. and then, so basically, so like, you know, quit smoking was like the very first step I wanted to take. And onto that, like I said earlier, I went from like a small shirt to a like a slowly to a medium to a large, because I remember going shopping and I just like tried to, I'm like, oh yeah, I bought this shirt, because I'm like, oh yeah, it's going to fit, right? It always fits before. I came home and I realized like it did not fit. And then I always wash stuff before I wear it, because I'm just like, I don't know who wore this before. I don't know how long it's been on the shelf. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just like weird things. And I'm like, oh, I must have shrunk in the dryer. And then this keeps happening and happening. So I keep donating clothes to shelters because it wouldn't fit me. And my partner's just like, I don't think it's the clothes. I think it's you. And then that caused a huge fight. I'm like, what do you mean it's me? And he just tried to be nice about it and try to be sincere, right? And then I just like got super upset, and then I just like told him off, and I'm just like, you know, like, fuck this relationship.
Yeah. But I mean, that's how it is. It's that first, it's, you don't, you know, because it's kind of quasi embarrassing too. Like, people don't realize that's just quasi embarrassment, that's a truth you don't want to face right now. And it's embarrassing that someone else has noticed it. Is that's the first time maybe someone else has noticed your weight gain, and it's like, oh my God, this is what I look like to you. This is
like, how dare you point this at me, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, I remember we went to see family for the holidays, and then like basically it was the exact same thing too. They kept pointing out like, oh my God, what happened? You gained weight. What happened? Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, they kept chirping my shoulder. I kept like telling myself, like, you know, it comes a place of love, not a place of hate. I know it comes across as like, it's gonna be a little rude and like, kind of fat shaming in a way. But then at the same time, I think because I kept rubbing their faces when I was to be skinny, and I'm like, I can eat a whole poutine without gaining weight. I can eat a large pizza without having to worry about anything. Now it's another story, but yeah. So then my sister and myself decided to be accountable buddies, right? We used to be make each other accountable by working out. So buying this weird like home workout DVDs that I used to do in my living room, and I'm not sure why she did hers, but like we used to make each other accountable. We used to push ourselves and like, you know, today we were going to do insanity. We're going to follow Sean T. We're going to push yourself. Even though that means you're going to vomit when you push yourself too much. We're going to keep going. It was not fun.
How far did you get through it before you were like, you know what? Mute. And just, I watched it.
My sister would do that. She's like, well, or she fast forward a part she could do. And then I'm like, I try, like I push myself to the point, like sometimes I was on the ground for sweating so much. And like, I couldn't breathe. So I paused it. Cause I'm like, I need to do this workout no matter what. Like I can't miss 5 minutes of it. Like this pause needs to come off.
Okay.
And I remember like pushing myself so hard to the point, like, yeah, like I puked. I had dinner before or lunch. I puked it all up and I kept pushing myself until like, a week later, when I reflected on this, I'm like, yeah, this is unhealthy. This is not a behavior I want to condemn people doing. This is not something I'm proud of. I should not push myself that much.
Yeah. So did you ever like, did you find a workout that worked for you, or did the insanity accountability between brother and sister work?
I basically give up and lied to her and said I kept doing it. Then I confess, because you know, like I'm very honest and I'm very blunt, and I just told her like, I couldn't do it anymore, I couldn't do it. So then I decided to invest into like my own gym equipment because like you know, it's just like the confidence, like I can't go to the gym and go see if I'm working out, but like, yeah, this is great. Yeah. I was just like, oh god, how do you do this? This is a lot of weight. How do people handle this? This is hard.
Yeah, and it's like you don't want to take up space for somebody that's like super professional. It's like wanting to use the equipment you're on, and you're just sitting here like maybe doing it right, maybe not. Yeah. Having somebody just stare at you while you work out, like when you let me know when you're finished. Okay, well, inside I'm finished, like, but I still got two more reps. But yeah, I get that.
It's a huge stab at your ego, right?
Well, and that's one thing too about the gym is that people. You know, there's a lot of people with like you with confidence that don't want to go work out with a bunch of people working out because it gets distracting to see other people do things that you may never be able to do in your fitness journey whatsoever. And it just makes you feel like, what am I doing here? If this is where the level 10 guys are, I'm level one. Where can I be in a room full of level one guys so I feel not as inadequate or just lost, you know, not have to spend $300 for a personal trainer to come.
And that's up. Yeah. And then like a buddy of mine told me too, he's just like, hey, like if you can't go during peak time because you're too scared, why don't you go early in the morning? And I'm just like, are you fucking serious? Like I have a hard time getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Do you think I want to go like 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning? Like, no.
Yeah. I think it's just, you got to find a workout that works for you. Like my dad and his husband, they go walking and they're in a huge neighborhood. And to go through the whole neighborhood, it's like 3 to 4 miles. And so they just, every evening, they go together and walk. And it's just something that they can do. It's not something super high intensity. They're kind of old anyways. They don't want them doing super intensive, but it's something they do. And, you know, it's not something where it's repetitive. You're in a room just sitting on a stationary bike. You're out. There's distractions. There's things that distract you from the fact that you're just walking. You know, like if you're walking on a treadmill, yeah. I don't get it, because I was like, how do you? I would have to put my treadmill right in front of my TV because, like, why am I? You know, I'd have to have something to focus. I can't just walk in place in a room with no, you know, any kind of distraction or anything. Like people with a book, I'm like, how?
Yeah, I seen it before too. Like, and I went to the YMCA with a friend of mine back in university. This chick was biking like super fast, and was reading at the same time. And I mean, meanwhile, I'm like walking like this slow pace on a treadmill, trying to keep up, and like watching, like, a little TV in front of it. And I'm just like watching. I'm just like looking at her and looking at the TV, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, how can she do that? But I was tripped, and I'm like, yeah, okay. That's the last time I went there.
Yeah. So what exercises do you find work for you?
This is a hard thing because, like I said too, I try working out my living room. I bought gym equipment. I would do it for like consistently like 4 times a week, 2-3 times a week. And then I got really busy and I miss a workout and then repeat, and I do it for 3 months consistently. And then I just stop because I get bored. And then 6 months later, I continue doing it. But I find to me, like dieting is just like, I mean, dieting is just like a fancy word, but like eating healthy, I should say, is a lot easier.
Yeah. If you can stop it at the source, it's way easier than to basically, you know, just keep working on something that may or may not, you know, work, you know, or that just gets you down or something like that. Because again, you get that, you get guilty for eating pizza. Then for that guilt, then you find it, you crave another snack food.
Yeah.
It becomes a slippery slope. And I feel like you said, it's a journey. Like maybe you miss a day, maybe you miss a week because of, you know, want to do, there's something you want to do, like travel, or a friend comes to town and you want to visit, you know, maximize your time, visit them, family, Christmas, holidays. You can't, you know, sometimes you're not always available just to keep that routine. And I think I think a lot of people's problem with fitness is that it feels like there's this discipline that goes into it. I was like, no, it's not. I don't think it's a discipline. I think it's just the people that are there that are super fit just love, that's their cross stitch. That's their, you know, their podcasting, or, you know, their passion is just to do that.
Yeah.
So maybe your passion isn't to do that, but if you can find a healthier, you know, more physically straining way to do your passion, if like your passion's gardening, maybe you do a lot more with by hand versus using any kind of tools or anything like that. Like you take water by hand. Don't just set up a hose system and sprinkle it. Maybe you just go out there and walk and spray, you know, then walk back and, you know, just turn everything else into kind of an exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find, to me, like, gardening is super rewarding, because if you can grow your own, like, veggies or fruits or whatever, it's just like, oh my god, look, I grew up this cabbage, this is amazing, or I grew this lettuce, and then, like, especially right now, I don't know where else, but, like, in Canada, or, like, in Ontario, where I live, like, lately, since the pandemic's been kind of lifted, it's just like, a thing of romaine lettuce is like $3.50, and I'm like, for lettuce, like $3.50 is a lot of money. It used to be worth like $2 before, like 2 years ago. Like, what do you mean $3.50 now? And of course, now people are just saying like, oh, but eating healthy is so expensive. And it's like, well, can be.
My girlfriend works at Whole Foods, and so they had an interesting quote, is that instead of wondering why it's so expensive to be healthy, or questioning why it's so expensive to eat healthy, why don't you question why it's so cheap to be unhealthy? Why is unhealthy so cheap? That's the return serve of, you know, really, yes, that's just an excuse. I mean, so you're saying, yeah, for monetary reasons, you're willing to die younger. Because you feel, because it's affordable, you're willing to have health problems later. You're putting off, you know, the everything, you know, the any kind of issues you may have medically to be major issues, because you're wanting to save money right now on the chicken nuggets and the hamburger and the Happy Meal. Because if you don't know what kind of, what goes into them, what, you know, how much sodium or how much sugar, how much your body of that can't process, what are you putting in there? Like, to me, you know, cancer is not a disease where it's one stimulus. I think it's a lot of things that we put, that are put in our bodies that we don't know at the time, the long-term effects, because you can't test all this stuff without, you know, putting them on, you know, everybody wants to make money. So they put these things out there before they can get like a long-term, you can't run a 20-year test on saccharin before you use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's where the problem comes in, is that like things like saccharin and things like that, that are substitutes for natural things that like sugar, your body then's like, I don't know what to do with this. And eventually I just think that's where the cellular changes start to happen as this stuff, you know, it's just like, you know, dumping toxic waste. It's, you know, it's great until one of the barrels cracks, and then it just slowly seeps into everything else.
Yep. And then, like, you made a really good point too, because nowadays it's just like, oh, like if you're following some fancy like keto diet, for example, you can buy Fat Bomb. It's already made for you. But if you look at the ingredients, it's like there's like 20 plus ingredients in this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's milk fat, there's canola oil, which canola oil like increases inflammation in your body. And then, you know, like if you want to lose weight, you want to decrease inflammation, not increase it.
Yeah.
And over time, like, this increased inflammation builds up. And then, like you pointed out too, like, oh, you go see a doctor, like, what do you mean I'm at risk of cardiovascular? What do you mean I have, like, insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes? But eating healthy is too expensive. But I'll buy these, like, fancy protein bars on the shelf, which, like, I don't know what's in it, but I'll still eat it. I won't question what's in there because it's fine. Everybody else do it, yeah. Right?
Or the weight loss shakes, like those things.
Yeah.
Because what is the nutritional supplement? Maybe it satisfies all your nutritional needs, but what is it using to satisfy them? If it's not using what I would say something that our bodies are used to dealing with, like I try not to use canned produce or anything. Like I'll buy fresh produce and things like that. And I cook for myself, you know, and I cook like 4 days a week and then I'll go out to eat, but I try not to eat fast food. I will have moments of breakdowns where I don't want to do dishes at 3 a.m. So I will get a fast food thing and I know I shouldn't eat right before I go to bed, but sometimes I am starving and I should, you know, I have tons of produce and everything else, but it's like, okay, I need to just get something quick, fast, and then deal with it later on. And it's also just, again, finding, you know, physical routines that you enjoy versus things that you think you have, like homework.
Yeah.
How do you motivate your clients to, is it just through, do you start with nutrition and then you work your way through physical or?
Yeah, because I have some clients who are very into physical. So I'm just like, if you can work out and you actually enjoy it, keep at it, right? Like, keep doing your joy. If you don't enjoy working out, then you know what? You don't have to, because to me, like, weight loss is 80% diet, 20% working out, right? Mm-hmm. If you, like you said, for example, like your folks who likes to go for a walk around the neighborhood, hey, that keeps you motivated, that keeps you happy, then go for it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't motivate you or you don't like it, then change something up. Do something that you like. Don't make yourself suffer.
And they are a working partnership. Like, my dad has been with the same man for my whole life. So it's kind of like they have that unspoken, like they know and they work with each other and stuff. Like my dad's husband was, pre-diabetic at one point. Like he was diagnosed as pre-diabetic or something and he changed his diet. Like he's one of those kind of guys that just is, okay, whatever you need me to do, I can do it. And he's basically reworked his diet to where he doesn't, you know, he has the diet, you know, the gluten-free crust or the wheat crust or something like that. Like that'd be their treat. Like they'll go to a pizza place and my dad will get regular crust and he'll get the, you know, the gluten-free crust or the sugar-free, whatever the diabetic, you know, substitute is. And like, he won't eat certain kinds of pasta. Like he won't eat like semolina pasta or something that's not grain or flour. It's been amazing. Like he's literally lost a lot of weight and it's amazing, you know, just to see when you are like that focused and, you know, this is and just make and just find things that work. And, you know, even though his favorite thing is lemon pie, to find a way to not just, you know, maybe he will once in a while, but he rarely has that give in. Like he's like, I just can't have it, you know, or he takes it out of his diet and it's just a testament. And I'm like, my goodness, you know, like I wish I had your willpower to be able to just to turn all that off, because at some points, yeah, I want my guilty pleasure. Me and my dad are the same. My dad's like, I want my guilty pleasure. I want to enjoy eating, you know, like he does things that he enjoys and, you know, he is a smoker and I've gone to him as a kid and asked him if he would not smoke. And he shot me down and said, that's something I enjoy, that, you know, it's my vice and I will continue to do it. I appreciate your concern, but that is my decision. And so I've kind of just been like, okay, you know, carpe diem then, you know, and just, you know, I love you and, you know, I support whatever decisions you make. You know, if you wanted to give up cigarettes, I would, you know, I'm totally on board with that. But if you don't, I'm not going to sit there and slap that out of your hand or, you know, breathe that tension on it to try it. You know, all I'm doing then is, to me, if I just keep fighting you on this, is reinforcing that you do it, like that it now becomes, you know, a battle or, you know, something where we see or, you know, don't spend enough and more time together because of that kind of friction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I found like your dad's story reminded of mine as well. Cause it's like, when I quit smoking, I learned how to cook. Cause it was like, to me, it was like the, you know, like I said earlier, that was like the very first step I had to do. I tried working out and it's like, yeah, like I have my moments. Like now it's like it's spring in Canada. So like, I'd be more like wanting to go outside and get some vitamin D or garden or do stuff like that. Like I enjoy, but like, I remember like when I quit smoking, I learned how to cook. And then I felt like shit, like a lot of times. And I went to see doctors, like walk-in clinics, to see, like, trying to talk to some doctors to find out, like, what was wrong with me, like, why did I feel this way? Is there, like, some sort of test they can do to assess, like, you know, someone can tell me what's wrong so I can work on it and try to fix it myself if I have to. Or if there's, like, I would just say, like, pills, because I just don't like taking, like, prescription drugs. But, I mean, like, this, what can I do, right? What can I do to make myself feel better? And then every doctor was just like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just a stressed out student. Then I had internal parasites. And then doctor just like, yeah, you have parasites. Use this cream. I'm like, great. Thanks. Why did you do this cream for? What is the cream going to do? They're like, was it kill the parasites? I'm like, yeah, externally, but not internally. Will it? And then so I tried to cream out for 2 weeks and I threw it out because I was like, this is useless. That was like $30 for cream that, you know, costs money. Like, so like, shit like that adds up, right? And so then I went to see other fucking clinics, other doctors. I mean, it was the exact same thing, like the exact same broken story. I'm just like, this is super frustrating. One doctor basically yelled at me saying, because he would not help me because I don't have a family physician that's assigned to me. And then I'm like, well, it's my choice. I don't have a family physician because I never go see one. Not because I don't want to. It's just one of those, like, I feel every time I see one, they're like, here, take these drugs and take this and take that without telling you, like, why, right? And
give me the whole picture then, is what I would
say. Yeah, exactly, right? So then I got super frustrated. And then I was like, well, I could see a naturopath, but it was also university. It's not like I had a lot of money because naturopath to begin with, some cost like $300 just to do initial assessment with you. And I'm like, oh, this is a lot. So then I went to my supplement store. There was a nutritionist there. So I talked to him, picked his brains. And I'm like, yeah, like I feel this way. I quit smoking. I gained all this weight. I'm tired all the time. I have poor digestion. Like I'm popping like Tums most like 5 times a day for like absolutely because I had, you know, poor digestion, had this heartburn feeling. I have just like ringworm on me from parasites. The doctor told me about this cream. Like, what can you do? And then basically, like, I think I chatted with him for like an hour and my mind was blown just by someone I just met told me exactly, like, you know, you could try this, you can try that. This is like what's happening. You quit smoking, but you're probably feeling like this. This is what, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, this guy is a God saver. Like, this is amazing. Yeah. And like, went to see him for multiple sessions. And then basically, I feel like every time I talked to him, was more like, you know, I was pulling the weeds out of the garden, right? Like, I figured out why I felt this way, why, what was happening to me. And then started working in mental health for years and seeing so many people, like mentally ill people, getting sicker every day over, like, not because of the medication, but about certain foods they were eating, certain things like, you know, the group homes that were looked at were just like, yeah, that's what they eat. They eat frozen pizzas and frozen chicken nuggets because that's what they buy. And I just got really frustrated. And then I just looked up online and I'm like, maybe I should become a nutritionist. Maybe I should really educate people. Like, maybe I can make a difference, right?
Yeah.
And here I am talking to you and talking to all of you. Mm-hmm. And then basically, like, your dad's story again, reminded me also, like, you know, when I gained all that weight, I was I had a feeling I was pretty diabetic. I had a feeling my dad's side of family struggles were cardiovascular disease and high blood pressure. So I was definitely at risk on top of that too. So I figured it was I used that to my drive to me, reminding myself every day, your genes may load the guns, but your environmental factors pulls the trigger, right? So if it can change my surroundings, they can change my diet, I could change my mindset, I could work on myself, I could reduce my risk of not having diabetes, I could reduce my risk of not having high blood pressure, I can work on myself and not feel like shit every day.
Yeah. That's amazing. And I didn't even think about the quitting smoking facet of your journey too, because all that is your body is trying to get you to take a cigarette. And so some of those feelings probably come from you, from your body saying, hey, how can I get you to get me a cigarette? And it's just your body's not, maybe you had a higher metabolism. I don't know how smoking affects your metabolism, but maybe it did, kind of keep the factory running at all hours, so you didn't hold on to a lot of body fat. And I find that was interesting too, is in your body will hold fat, because your poor eating habits, it doesn't know when you're going to eat again. So it's store. And there's just habits of not just cooking, but just eating right. Just eating timely, and eating during the day when you're doing stuff, or to do stuff before you eat so that you burn what they have versus what you just put in. There's all these little trinkets of, things that, that mental health, I'm sure, are fascinating, that's just dietetically, this is how your body works. If your body, will use what you just ate if you start exercising after you eat versus what you have stored if you do it early in the morning or when you first wake up before you have your breakfast. If you work out, then your body starts working more, it's actually... it's already up and running, and everything you've had before is starting to get used, not just the food you just ate.
Yeah, because this is just smoking too, because smoking is loaded with toxins and chemicals, and it's one of those. It's like a protein bar you can buy at the grocery store. Yeah. You don't know what's in it. In Canada, the FDA doesn't have to tell you exactly what are the ingredients of household cleaning product, or if you buy, for example, some supplements, again, they don't have to tell you what's in there. So some companies could say it's this and that. Meanwhile, they can add tons of other fillers and toxins and shit that you don't really know, and you're taking it, you're like, yeah, it is great. It tastes really good.
So what was your first meal that you learned how to cook? What was your first meal that you're on your journey and do you still cook it?
I think the very first thing I made was pad thai, because Asian food is my go-to. It's my comfort food. So I learned how to make pad thai. I made it for my partner and he tasted really good. I was super proud of myself. I made tofu for me and I made some for chicken for him. He really liked it. He said it tasted really, really great. And then I made it for a friend of mine who came over, who's also not vegetarian. So I made some with chicken for him. And then flavor wise is good, but the overall picture of it was just this doesn't look so good.
What, there isn't going to be any beauty contest?
Yeah, exactly. I would not make it on Chop. Yeah.
My dad's the same way though. He cooks for people, or he'll try to, he'll definitely, he loves to cook, but he loves to, again, you do, what do you want? He'll research some vegetarian, my cousin, his niece is vegan. And so whenever she comes over, he'll research vegan recipes to try. He's just super thoughtful. And so, that's one thing with cooking that I never thought of, is how much love you can show, or caring you can show by putting an effort into trying to make something specifically for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's every time now when I have a dinner party, all my friends or whoever gets, my guests come over to oh my God, your food tastes so amazing. You always feel the love. And I always remind them, 10 years ago, I don't know how to make this. This is all from watching YouTube, reading blogs, throw things in a pot, and just like, I don't know, casting some magic spell, whatever how you want to describe it, but it turned out great. And, you know, and it's like, yeah, like you said, too, right? You do taste the love, you do taste the effort and, you know, everything you put in there. And it's just like, it's, you know, it's magic.
Yeah.
That's how I don't describe it.
But it's also, it comes from an honest partner too. Like your partner played a great role in actually giving you honest feedback about the food rather than saying, oh, it's great, you know, and then it not being, because then you're just putting, you know, he knows that if he says yes, you're going to be cooking this like 5 days in a row. And how long is he going to be able to keep up that lie? A major favorite.
And he's a tough critic because usually like when I eat something I'm like, if I really like it, I'm like telling myself like, oh, like, you know, super grateful I made this food, this is amazing, this is so good. I'm like, how do you feel about it? Oh yeah, it tastes okay. And it drives me nuts, and I keep pushing myself. I'm like, one day he's gonna say it tastes really good. I'm gonna get that credit that I want. I'm gonna get the credit that I deserve.
You ever seen Ratatouille?
Yeah.
He's gonna be that food critic at the end where he's got that, where he has the Ratatouille and he just has the whole like childhood, reliving childhood.
I love it.
But yeah, that's great though. I mean, that's a good part. That's someone that like is a great support system that's willing to, you know, taste. And also, I don't know, does he cook for you sometimes too?
Yeah, no, but like how we do things is I'm the one who's known to cook healthier things. Like, you know, I'll make stir fry and then I'll use like coconut meals instead of soy sauce or, you know, like, or I'll make like the other day I make shish kebab with ground chicken for him and I use tempeh for me with like turmeric rice and then a salad on the side. If I ask him to cook, he usually make my favorite. He makes like the best mac and cheese ever. We've had like four kinds of cheese. I was going to say that's probably why
he rock. When you said you're healthier, I was like, yeah, he probably just rocks out a mac and cheese. And
and he makes it just cheese sauce from scratch, right? It has like four kinds of cheeses in it. And it's so good. Like, you know, like I'm the one who cooks the healthy things. And if I want something unhealthy or some sort of comfort food, I ask him to cook, right? It's about balance. That's how I see it.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe one day y'all could take a recipe and see who makes it better. Just like do a little contest. Cause that was a podcast I had with my girlfriend because she can cook really well. And I'm okay at cooking. I'm again, I don't win beauty contests, but I can cook some really good food. And I was like, what if we just did a cooking contest where we just took a recipe and let her child be like the blind taste test?
I love that.
And just we would just basically just do a weekly podcast of how are we change? Maybe we tweak the recipe. Here's my tweak. Here's her tweak. And just kind of, you know, because I'm a spicy fan. She's not. And so we have like these contrasting views on food, but we both like love food. And so it would be I just think it'd be really interesting to do that would be kind of a fun cooking podcast to compete to see who wins.
Yeah, I love that idea.
But yeah, this is a fantastic conversation. I'm glad. So how do you feel about your body image now? Like this is, are you where you want to be or are you somewhere in between and happy or?
I feel like since, like, you know, after talking to the nutritionist and then learning so much about what was going on with me and then working on myself for, like, you know, for so long, like, I read so many, like, self-help guides, like, for my mental health, listening to so many podcasts and, like, being inspired by so many people. And then basically, like, you know, I decided to become a nutritionist myself and continue to work on myself. And now I gladly can say that my body image has like been a lot better. Like I have my moments some days, like when I go to the beach, if I see some guy beside me like super ripped and buff, and I'm like, yeah, like, you know, I won't feel so good about my body image, but I figure we see someone who's kind of like, you know, myself, like a little average, and I'm like, yeah, like, you know what, this is fine. If he can take his top off and rock himself in his Speedo, so can I. Maybe not the Speedo part. But so can I. I can take my top off. No one cares. No one's going to judge you.
Yeah. And also when people with abs and stuff, it's like, you don't know how much nutrition and just diet discipline goes into that.
Yeah.
Like it is frequent exercise, cardio, and just almost low-key starving yourself.
Yeah, which I'm like, oh God, yeah. I'm all bad dedicated.
Because back at, I was like, maybe I can get abs. And I read an article and it was like this nutrition plan. It was like a cup of brown rice here with three veggies. And, you know, you had to eat like 7 or 8 times a day and it was just really small portions. I was like, oh, we're never going to have abs. <It's> like,
but a lot of times, too, I think I blame the media for that as well, right? Because if you watch, like, I'm a huge Marvel fan. So if you watch, like, The Avengers, you're like, oh, my God, Captain America looks super ripped. And Thor and, like, Iron Man. And, like, oh, like, you know, they all look super amazing. And if you watch, like, or if you're in magazines, if you know, you know yourself is photoshopped. So you keep convincing yourself, like, this is so fake. You look at Men's Health magazine, it's like, how to have abs, diet to burn fat, fat burning foods. Like, it's always in your face and it's disgusting. It's like, oh, fuck, I feel so vulnerable. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. And it's just, I think if you, to me, body image, you know, is important, but at the same time, you also just kind of learn, you know, this is you, and that maybe, you know, as long as you're in a happy place, like, and you can kind of tune out the noise. Because you've got a partner that loves you for who you are. You know, and I always say love adds like 10 pounds to anybody, because you just are so comfortable with each other that you don't worry about what you look like with your shirt off. They've seen you with your shirt off, and you've seen them with their shirt off, and
seen at your best and they've seen at your worst.
Yeah. But that's awesome. This has been a fantastic conversation, Alan. Where can people find you on social media if they wanted to learn more about nutrition? And
yeah, so I have an Instagram account. They can follow me as well. Like, you know, I post tons of stuff there. It's Nutra, NUTRA _ journey. Like the word journey _ wellness. Mm-hmm. As well as like on Facebook, if you look my full name up, so Alain, and my last name, Carriere. I do host masterclass as well for men in my Facebook group. And as well, I do post some stuff that as well about things I'm passionate about, things I care, and like, you know, mindset, nutrition stuff as well.
That's awesome. I feel like so much weight loss, doesn't address the mental health part of it. Just the coping and the patience to say, hey, you know, it may not be great now, but just wait, just keep at it, and let's keep at it and see what we get in 6 months. You know, let's look at the scale in the mirror then.
Right. Cause I find it's just like, you have to push yourself beyond your comfort zone if you want to see progress, if you want to see growth. If you do the same thing over and over again, you know, that's like the definition of insanity, right? Like, you're not going to see the results. You're not going to grow. You're going to continue being miserable. And then you're going to continue thinking that no one wants to help you. The world is against you. And then you're basically become a hermit crab. You can hide in your shell and never come out.
Yes. Well, thanks so much, Alan. You have a great day.
Yeah, no problem. You as well. Thank you so much.
So that was Alan. I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. We had a really fun time. It was a very interesting fear. It was a fear that while it is not a, you know, it's not, it's a fun fear that you can make fun as a fear you can make light of, but also, you know, be, you know, have make light of, it's serious, but at the same time, you can kind of make light and poke fun at it. And I love when you can have that with your fear, that you can have these fun conversations like we're having on this podcast. Check out Alan on Instagram at Nutra_journey_wellness. You can also find him on Facebook as well as his website, NutraJourney.ca. I'll have those links in the show notes. As for myself, I work with April Macy. It was an amazing weekend. We had a great time, great shows, ready for Memorial Day holiday to just kind of relax and unwind for a little bit. So looking forward to that. Got a couple shows in June. Not much else going on. I'm in the finals for a comedy contest that will be on Tuesday. And so I will work on that. But make sure you follow Alan, and if you want to follow me, you can. I'll have my links in the show notes as well. Thanks again for listening to the Sum of All Fears podcast. I am doing this in the early morning so I can get ready to go to a wine tasting here with Mallory. So we'll do that and we'll have a fun Memorial Day weekend. Hope you guys have a great Memorial Day holiday. And thanks you to all the troops and armed forces veterans out there. We've had some on the podcast like Mario and MJ Moody. Thank you guys for your service and the people that gave their lives so that we could live the life we do. Thanks again for listening to the Sum of All Fears podcast. Have a wonderful week. And now some thank yous for the folks that make this show possible. Thanks to Barry Whitewater for my art and graphics. You can follow him on Instagram at bwhite2o. Get it? H2O, like water. You can also follow him on Facebook Music. A huge thank you to Gunnar Olson for the wonderful music provided for this podcast. You can follow him on Instagram at gunbuns, that's G-U-N-B-U-N-S, as well as his website, gunnarolson.net. Check out some of the samples that he has recorded. They're amazing. He's an amazing percussionist. If you want to follow the show, we've got a Facebook group, Sum of All Fears, Instagram, Twitter. You can find us at Some Fear Fans. If you have some feedback for the show, email me at somefearfans, SOMEFEARFANS, at gmail.com. I'll be happy to take those into consideration. Also, if you'd like to be a guest, email me at somefearfans@gmail.com. We can try to iron out some details and get that settled in. You know, give us some feedback. If on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, leave a review. It makes the show bigger, and it's not going anywhere. I'm going to record as many shows as I possibly can. If you want to follow me on social media, I am at Ryan Perrio. It's RyanPerrio on all social media platforms. You can follow me there and you can check me out at RyanPerrio.com, my website. I'll try to list upcoming shows there as well. It's been kind of spotty because as soon as I set it up, that's when the pandemic happened and everything's kind of just in a holding pattern. Thanks again for listening to the Sum of All Fears podcast. Next week, we'll have another guest with another fear. Thanks for listening.